Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a seasoned pro or trailblazer, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore all the hot-button issues that you care about and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. Welcome back, Raise Nation. So great to connect with you. If you've been here before, you know what this show is all about. And thank you for making us a fan favorite and so popular. We've been seeing those plays and play hours go up, 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 and up, and all your comments on social. We feel in the love and love right back at you. If you're new, well, welcome. We're glad to have you. We hope you become part of the Raise Nation family for many episodes to come. You have a few episodes to catch up on. We're like in the 130s, 140s at this point, but hopefully you'll enjoy them all and follow us on your favorite channel because we do stream on 10 different podcast channels. And welcome. Glad you're here. So I am super excited to welcome my guests to Raise Nation Radio. Oh, we're going to talk about some digital marketing, marketing in general, and marketing specific to the nonprofit sector. And you know why this is interesting is because it is so crazy competitive out there, and how do you stand out? It's sometimes just seems impossible to just stand out, but we have folks in the house that are going to be able to help us break this down. So please welcome to the show. We have from Media Cause, we have two of the best of the best. We have Tiffany Rivers. She's the senior director. Now you're going to love this title because this is exactly what we want to be talking about. Senior director of social media and influencer marketing. And we also have Nate Mize-Pressler, who is associate media director. Okay, these are definitely the people that we want to talk to. Tiffany, Nate, I hope I did okay with your names. That was a mouthful, but welcome to Raise Nation Radio. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for having us. Great to be here.
Well, yeah, I want to get into it. I want to get into the world of digital marketing and how people just figure out how to stand out today. And then the term that we're hearing, influencer marketing. I mean, we've been hearing about influencer for a long time now, but I think it's kind of making its way to the, you know, nonprofit world, all that good stuff. But before we do, our audience wants to get to know you. I mean, I know you. I know we got the top-notch people here for this conversation. But tell us about Media Cause, what you do, how you found your way to Media Cause, and anything that you'd like to share personally. Tiffany, can we start with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been at Media Cause for about 3 years now. March was my 3-year anniversary. Prior to that, I spent quite a bit of time in the nonprofit and for-profit world. I was at Boys and Girls Clubs of America previously. Worked freelance at different companies like Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Georgia Pacific, Carter's, Oshkosh B'gosh. So I have a wealth of experience on both the for-profit side and the nonprofit side. But my heart is really with organizations that have, you know, missions that I can connect to and really make an impact in the world in a great way.
Oh, I love that, especially because I think as nonprofits, we need to mirror the for-profit sector in order to connect with our supporters and donors. So it's I love the fact that you can bring both sides of that coin, you know, to the nonprofit space. So good to have you here. We're going to really get into some juicy conversation. I especially like that part of your title that says, you know, influencer marketing. So we want to jump into that. But Nate, I want to get to know you too, or I should say our audience wants to get to know you more. So tell us what you do at Media Cause and how you got there and whatever you'd like to share personally.
Yeah, thanks, Dawn. So I, similar to Tiffany, have been at Media Cause for 3 years. Today is actually my 3-year anniversary at Media Cause.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Wow. What a milestone.
It's one of those things. Yeah, it feels like I've been here forever. Feels like I've been here 2 weeks. So it's one of those kind of good balances in terms of like just like the dynamic work we get to do. I have a lot of experience with for-profit, both in-house and on the agency side. I've worked with some regional brands, some more nationwide brands like Planet Fitness, as well as some different associations too. So really excited to just be here celebrating 3 years at MediaCause. It's something where, with like Tiffany, I really appreciate just the work that the nonprofits do. The cool thing about MediaCause is you get to work with nonprofits that you're passionate about. So we all get to kind of flex our skills and like flex our interests as well. So I'm on our media team. So as the associate media director, I get to help work on overall strategy from paid social, paid search. I get to work with Tiffany, which is always exciting, on the influencer marketing, kind of helping leverage the paid budget behind that too. So yeah, really excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, I feel like this podcast could probably be 3 episodes long because there's so much to talk about here in the digital landscape. But let's talk a little bit about MediaCause. We know what you guys do, but who wants to take this? What's the MediaCause journey? What do they do? How do they serve nonprofits? And what's their story? Who wants to take that?
Yeah. I can take that on, and maybe Nate just tag team with me anything I miss. We are a full service marketing agency, doing all things from creative to paid media, like Nate said. But we focus on organizations like nonprofits or with social good missions. Our founder and CEO started off in the world of tech and all things technology and advertising, and took a year off to really figure out like where his passions were. And he found himself volunteering for nonprofits and helping them with their digital advertising plans. And so that gained so much traction that he turned it into an agency. And that's kind of how MediaCause came about. And so we've been around for over 10 years now. And experienced a lot of growth, as you know, during the pandemic, during COVID, when folks were really looking for those sources of inspiration, ways to reach new audiences, and ways to really get in front of new people. So that is a little bit about the history of our organization and our company. I'll let Nate jump in and tackle anything that I missed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard act to follow, Tiffany. But one thing that I think is really fun about MediaCause is we really do, when it comes from like an agency perspective, focus on like an integrated strategy. So like Tiffany said, we have social media, we have influencer, we have paid. The Venn diagram kind of all comes together in that middle like integrated section. So we have a fundraising team, a dedicated advocacy team as well. We have a mark team. So they're really helping kind of like get into the weeds and kind of look under the hood for a lot of our clients, just to really make sure that as they're making an impact, it's trackable too. Because a big thing that's really important with marketing is just being able to like track the different KPIs as well. So it's really, like Tiffany said, full service in a way that I think is really nice. It flexes to each client, different sizes of nonprofits too. So yeah, a lot of cool challenges, a lot of cool fun things to work on.
All right. Wow. That's a broad repertoire of services that you offer the nonprofit space. I want to kind of break it down a little bit, because I think you mentioned something that's very valid, Tiffany, that the digital space kind of blew up, you know, in the COVID years and continues to thrive. So help it break down for our nonprofits. Let's get to basics, because we serve, you know, a lot of different shapes and size nonprofits, from grassroots to enterprise. So let's break down, what is the difference between paid social media, influencer marketing, digital marketing, like all the buzzwords that we've just been using in those introductions? Can we break down what the differences are between them?
Yeah, I can take a stab at that for you. I think when we say digital marketing now, it's kind of redundant, because like everything falls under a lot of your digital properties, whether it's your website or your email list or your social media accounts, or, you know, programmatic buys that you make in, you know, the larger atmosphere. So I think when we think about the services that MediaCause offers, we think about them under the digital marketing umbrella. But we also do things that fall under more of the traditional marketing space, whether it's print or out of home or, you know, radio, television, if needed. But I think our focus has always been on the digital side because we found that a lot of nonprofits have sometimes had challenges in like keeping up with all of the different trends and, you know, developments on that front. So for my side of the house, we focus on organic social media strategy. So this is your own channels, you know, things that you have cultivated, developed, and grown on your own, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, all of those channels that you really have your own decision rights over and you put together your content strategy for. So those are the owned channels. And then influencer marketing, I think, has become more of like a bridge between organic and paid. And so I'll let Nate jump in with the paid side of things, and then we can talk about influencer marketing.
Yeah. So diving into the paid side of things. So what we kind of see is it's almost like the other side of the coin, if you will, for like paid social or for organic social. So paid social is taking those channels that you're on and putting some additional budget behind it. So you'll always end up having budget for resources for things like graphics, copywriting, all those pieces. But what you do with paid social is you leverage those platforms like Meta, for example. You can run across Facebook, across Instagram. There are a million different places within those two social media channels, all under the umbrella of Meta, that you're able to run. You're able to do some really intensive targeting, a lot of first-party data as we continue to become a cookie-less future. And really stop with some of those different ways that we're able to target. We use a lot of different first-party data, remarketing data, things like that, that can allow us to reach your audience for a specific action, reach a brand new audience, and then get them to kind of understand who you are as an organization. So a lot of our nonprofits have a lot of brand awareness goals. They're like, hey, we have this new program. We want to get out there. How do we get out there? So we can use organic social to reach a new audience and also kind of reinvigorate your current audience. Creating consistency and that credibility, and then you can use paid social. So you put some additional budget behind it, reach a brand new audience, and you kind of get them into the fold, warm them up a little bit, and then they become more of like a follower and someone who's more engaged in that way.
Now let's stop there for just a second with the paid social. It's not so easy, or maybe it's just not easy for me. Maybe it's easy for you guys, but I don't know if our audience is just as confused as I am, but It's very difficult to understand how to stand out, how to set your budgets, how to know how to just build a good paid program that's giving you the return. Do you have any tips for our audience on that? Because I find it a little bit overwhelming. So what advice do you have there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because. And I don't want to sound like I'm kind of like waffling or anything, but it does really depend on what your goal is. So if you're a local nonprofit and you want to reach a local audience, you're going to be able to spend a little bit less money than like a national audience or an international audience, for example. If you want to try some new things, but maybe you're limited on your resources, maybe it flow to a campaign or to a channel that you know is working for you organically. So you can say, hey, we know that this is a built-in audience. We can try to create a new audience that funnels into that really well. A thing that I'll say is we live and die by benchmarks. So we love creating benchmarks for our clients, but we also love kind of seeing what are the industry trends? What are some things that are kind of like that baseline that we know that we can kind of keep the campaign success top of mind. So do you have a specific goal as a client for like a cost per lead, for example? You want a certain number of donations. What's it like for other organizations in your industry? That kind of helps us be able to formulate a plan. Additionally, if there are different audience types, sometimes the more niche you get with your audience, the more expensive it's going to be because they're a hot audience that everyone wants to kind of target. And so you have to really, really kind of work to get that audience break through the noise and create a really cohesive strategy that way.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds like it would be just easier to hire Media Cause because I never really understand, you know, you're putting in a budget, but it's up to, and it's just a little bit overwhelming. But then we have the trifecta, if you will, influencer marketing. So I think this question is for Tiffany. I could be wrong. Both of you could answer it for sure. But I'm seeing and hearing that more and more, especially in the nonprofit space. Of course, I know what an influencer is. We've been hearing that for ages now. But can you share some examples of influencer marketing? So maybe we could wrap our minds around it a little bit better, or some campaigns, for example. And that specifically, because I think what I heard you say before, Tiffany, kind of bridges the gap between like the organic and the paid. So what are some examples that could help us with those light bulbs going off? And do they help reach like those niche audiences in any way?
Yeah, I think what would help, I wrote some notes for our conversation.
Thank you.
Definitions. Yeah, I think great. One of those things that's really helpful. So a great definition that I found from eMarketer is really helpful. So you want to think about creators and you want to think about influencers. So creators are individuals or entities that create original content for digital properties with the primary purpose of building an audience or monetizing that content. So what you'll see is that there have been a rise in professional creators. These are individuals, entities that create content for a living. This is what they do to sustain themselves.
Like the Kardashians, is that?
Yes, but the Kardashians lean a little bit more to the influencer side because they have gained notoriety for other things outside of creating content, right?
Okay.
They're under that larger umbrella. So the influencer side of things is more so they develop content, but they also sway the audience for purchase decisions. For a broader population. So sometimes creators can have like a really niche audience, really specialized audience, more targeted audience. And then influencers can be like broad audiences. They can sometimes be celebrities and they kind of fall into like a broader category. So when we talk about influencer marketing, we talk about creators. That's kind of the difference between the two. And what we like to do at Media Cause is really tap into the creator side of things. So really working with individuals who are amazing at storytelling, are experts in their field, have really built their audiences around a specific topic or interest area. And we know that we can build off of their current engagement. And I think the thing that's tied the bridge between like the organic side and the paid side is that these creators, influencers, if you want to call them, have already developed organically their audiences, right? Like they've done the things to earn the trust of these audiences. And we almost are coming in to partner with them to help tell the stories of the nonprofits that we serve. So that's where we kind of leverage the audiences that they've built, but then we also compare that with paid media, which is where Nate comes in and his team to amplify those stories and to amplify that content that they publish on those channels that they've worked so hard to develop.
Okay, I'm getting it. How does a nonprofit cultivate their creators and their influencers in their organization?
Yeah, it can go a lot of different ways. So I want to let Nate share a little bit about some of the projects that he's worked on, and then I can jump back in and share some other things too.
Yeah, please. I'm all ears.
Yeah. Well, so it definitely can depend on the audience and on the goals. So we worked with Opportunity at Work, which is a nonprofit geared toward hiring. And we worked on a campaign called Tear the Paper Ceiling, which was focused on that paper ceiling is a degree. And so there are folks who are skilled, talented through other different kinds of means. And so maybe they've been in the industry for 10 years and that experience kind of stacked up against a degree with a specific hiring manager or something could be kind of the difference between getting that job or not. And so how kind of influencer marketing and like those creators work with the paid media is we ran paid media that was static creative, video creative, and it was branded to the Tear the Paper Ceiling and to Opportunity at Work. But we also then leverage different creators who are in that space, whether it's an HR professional who kind of is like, hey, get ready with me while I talk about my hiring process, and then breaks down kind of that barrier between like, you might have this, let's maybe reframe that. And then we had some other creators who were those who are highly skilled, highly experienced, but don't have a degree. And they're kind of saying, hey, these are the battles that I face, or these are the ways I kind of can circumnavigate that and kind of go about that. And so it really was a way that allowed us to reach folks authentically, because you wanted to let people who don't have a degree that are skilled to know, hey, you can get a really awesome job. You can go have your career in marketing, design, finance, all those different things, while also then reaching people who are making those hiring decisions and saying, hey, I'm a hiring professional and here's how I break down the paper chains. Here's how I tear it. Here's how I break down these kind of biases and things like that. So we were able to flex with that, the two different audiences for that organization to allow us to kind of reach people where they're at, which was a really cool way to kind of help shift that focus, both like for the people who are the skilled folks that have a degree, and then also those HR professionals.
So what was the outcome? How'd you do?
So it's exciting because with this, and this is kind of part of the fun stuff where you can almost kind of track how the influencer content is going based on the different campaign things. And what we did with the HR folks was we had them, they saw ads that were creator ads, but then also saw ads that had poll. And the poll was kind of like, here's what your thoughts are on the hiring decision, or here's what does this mean, or all those different things. And you're kind of able to see that shift where folks were saying, hey, yeah, a degree isn't going to be a game changer for me. It's something where I'm going to kind of take the results of their experience, their resume, all those different things. I'm going to take that more seriously, like what their work experience and work ethic is. From the people who are trying to get hired perspective, we were able to use those influencers to create an AR effect where they were able to actually kind of take their phone and say like, hey, I'm a highly skilled person looking for a job, or hey, I'm here's kind of where I'm at. I've kind of got my dream career now. And so you were able to see those people share their story and then ultimately amplify it to their networks, which was awesome.
Wow. It seems like a tangled web, but MediaQuest kind of untangles it, and it's almost making sense to me. And this is not my world. So I'm pretty excited that I'm catching on. Tiffany, did you say you wanted to add anything to that?
Yeah. I mean, I can talk a little bit about your first question and maybe share a little bit about some other campaigns that we've worked on. Yeah. But when it comes to identifying and, you know, establishing those relationships with those creators, it can really go both ways, right? So sometimes there's outreach from a specific creator influencer who wants to work with an organization or has volunteered, you know, has found a passion point that they're excited about. But then there's other times where, as you know, a social team or a media team, you're out listening to the chatter and you're out listening to what different influential voices are saying, what topics they're talking about. And you're doing the outreach directly to them to say, hey, we think you might make a great partner for us. We think that the topics that you talk about would really resonate with our audience, and we really see some synergy there. So it can really work both ways, but our role at MediaCause is to really find the best of both worlds, right? Find people that you've interacted with already and have established relationships, and maybe you can take it to the next level, but also find those folks who you may not know already and make those kind of connections, do that matchmaking, if you will. So one of the campaigns that we're really proud of here at MediaCause was with the It Gets Better project. And It Gets Better is an organization dedicated to LGBTQ plus youth and making sure that they're able to tell their stories. A lot of times as young people, finding your voice and finding that opportunity to just be who you are and be proud of that and have that community around you is so difficult. And so for 2 years in a row, we partnered with It Gets Better to amplify their 50 states, 50 grants, 5,000 voices campaign. Lots of alliteration there.
What was 50 states?
50 states, 50 grants, 5,000 voices.
Got it. Okay.
And so for that campaign, we were responsible for getting out the word about a grant opportunity that they were making available to students across the nation. So they were giving out $10,000 grants to students to create safe spaces within their schools so that they could have that community that's so important as you're going through those transitions and as you're really finding and solidifying your identity. So not only did we, you know, pull in all of the other teams at MediaCause when it comes to advocacy, web development, but we also pulled in our social and media teams. And our job was to identify influencers who would make a good fit for this campaign. So whether that's educators who identified as LGBTQ plus, or if they were mentors or young people who shared their experience and, you know, identified with the experience of finding that community. And we paired them together with It Gets Better, developing a whole campaign strategy around how we would share this opportunity and get the word out to students so that they could apply for these grants and could apply for these resources for their schools. So that was a really, really successful campaign that we're really proud of. A couple of numbers from that campaign is that we saw a 1,304% increase in profile views as we rolled out this campaign. Yes, amazing.
Yeah, really amazing.
214% increase in video views week over week, and 104 million views on the hashtag favorite teacher on TikTok. So you see that these influencers, these creators can really, really raise awareness about your organization and raise the level of visibility in ways that you may not be able to do. And even with sometimes limited budgets, you can leverage the audiences of other individuals.
Yeah, and it's almost an extension of the nonprofit in some respect, right? They have eyes, ears, nose, and know-how really out there, knowing what to do, how to do it. Because, you know, I hear all sorts of things: when to post, how many days in between, all sorts of things. But it's almost like you have, you know, all of these extensions of your brand out there kind of working for you, which, you know, just gets the story out there. So very exciting, very interesting approach. I love some of the data. I'm a data girl. I, you know, a lot of what I do here at One Cause is all driven by data. So I like the metrics that you're talking about. Can we talk about that a little bit? Like, how do nonprofits benchmark? What key metrics should they be paying attention to when they're like evaluating the effectiveness, especially of these influencer partnerships? And then how do they apply that to like their social strategy?
Yeah, I'll jump in and hand it over to Nate as well. I think what I just mentioned, you want to look at those awareness level metrics like the profile views. So you want people to be coming to your own channels, finding out who you are. You want to be looking at those video views, right? Like how many people are watching this content, getting through this content, how many people are joining those conversations that these creators and influencers are participating in. And then you may take it even a step further. So I'll let Nate jump in and talk a little bit about some of the metrics that we might see on the paid side.
Yeah, and using It Gets Better is a good example too, and kind of pulling up some of that data. A big thing for us from the ad side of things is what are total impressions? So how many people are seeing those ads? What's the total engagement? So are people seeing those ads and they're just scrolling? Are they clicking through to learn more? Are they looking to see what the comments are? Are they leaving a comment? Are they sharing? Are they becoming like what we would call like a paid like or a paid follower, where because that person who is not already following you saw that ad in their feed, they went through, they became a follower. Now they get to kind of follow along the journey. Another thing, depending again on campaign, so the 50 States, 50 Grants season two had a couple different leads. We had email leads that were coming from teachers because we were saying, hey, if you're an educator, you want to help out these students because you didn't have an educational sponsor. we'd like to get your information. And we drove over 3,200 leads, which was awesome. And then we also won an application. So folks who were actually applying to the grant in their state. And so we had 111 applications through the second season. And that was in 38 states, which kind of knowing just kind of what's going on within the LGBT community kind of across the country, that was really exciting to see. We also knew there were some states that we didn't during season one get applications, and season two we did. So you can really see even season one and then season two's influencer, how that helped change perspective so that year two, more folks were likely to apply in a state that maybe they weren't originally. So those are kind of some metrics we look at. Another thing that we really like, and this is something that we're doing with the Parkinson's Foundation right now. They're running a TikTok campaign with creators for Parkinson's Awareness Month, which is in April. Is looking at the click-through rates. So let's see how each individual creator, a click-through rate is basically when someone sees the impression, it's the percent of people who click through to the website and take that action. And so for Parkinson's Foundation, they want to drive folks to a website with a bunch of resources for Parkinson's disease. So we're looking at the creators and what their click-through rate is. So are these creators resonating more with that paid audience? Are folks seeing that video and going, oh my gosh, I'm inspired to learn more, download some different resources? So that's a big thing we look at too, video view time and then click-through rate. That person inspired, the influence, if you will, in action.
And that's something that you do at MediaCause. Do you help nonprofits create their spreadsheet? I mean, I don't know if we're using spreadsheets anymore, but dashboard, that's a better word. Their dashboard, and do you help with some benchmarking and what data they should collect and help them watch that? Because that seems like it could be a full-time job right there.
Yeah. So I'm a big data nerd.
Me too.
Hey, I love data.
Love you, like, Nate.
Cool. I love data too. Supermetrics is my best friend and my middle name. So one thing that we do is we will create those dashboards. So something that's really cool to see is that client dashboard, like week over week. And so we can really kind of dive in and say, hey, here's when we launched these creators, or here's when we launched these ads. Look at the cost per lead decrease, or look at the click-through rate increase. So we definitely want to share a dashboard with the client, but we're not going to say, hey, here's the spreadsheet. Live, laugh, love. We want to make sure that we can also kind of talk through what that data means and then make informed decisions on data. So there are some times where some of those videos aren't performing well, and we might pause those in favor of another one. So it definitely is something that we do for our clients. Tiffany and I have worked on some kind of cross team reporting too, when it comes to here's what we've done with organic social, here's what we've done with paid social, and here's kind of the overall what that looks like in terms of your overall performance.
Well, I'm fascinated. I hope I'm asking the questions that our audience wants me to ask, because, you know, light bulbs are going off and I feel like this is a personal consultation for Dawn. Hoping all of this is valuable. I'm hanging on your every word. But a couple questions come to mind. Maybe we can take this in a little bit different direction. What about just being consistent and cohesive in your brand? Because you have influencers out there, they're maybe, you know, not connected, you know, by way of, you know, an employment or a volunteer contract, right? So they feel like they're out in the wild for me. So they're telling their story. The nonprofit is telling its story. How does that all come together so that there's, you know, unity in like the brand narrative, and that sprinkles across, you know, the social, the paid, am I getting it right? Organic social, paid social, and influencer. Am I getting that trifecta right? How do you create that unity there?
Wow. Yeah, that is a really great question. And that's something that a lot of our clients come to us with, you know, initial concerns about, or, you know, they may feel a little hesitant at first. But it's really important to remember that this process is super collaborative. This is, you know, not just I tell you what to do and you spit something out, or vice versa. Like, it's really important that you establish a relationship with these creators. And so I think that that's one thing that might get lost in the sauce. This is a true relationship that can last for the duration, you know, of your nonprofit life span. So we really work in the beginning to identify individuals in the vetting process that really align with that organization's values. And we really do our due diligence in making sure that we're not pairing them with anyone who would, you know, embarrass them or, you know, publish something that they didn't feel so proud of, right? Like, we really work hard in that identification process, because it is truly like a two-way relationship. And you want to make sure that it's not inauthentic or, you know, just something that people are kind of doing once and they have no true connection. So like Nate mentioned with Parkinson's Foundation, like, these creators truly have a connection to that cause. And that makes it, you know, more authentic in the pairing and how, you know, that relationship develops.
So what's in it for the creator or the influencer? Is it for the greater good, the greater me, and they're a volunteer? Or is there some type of an agreement? Am I going, like, is that a foolish question to ask? I mean, is there an influencer agreement for a nonprofit, or is there anything for that influencer in return? Or is it based on strictly the greater good and the volunteer, which is totally fine. I'm just now really getting into the weeds because I'm super curious.
Yeah. I think that's a great question. I think the answer is it depends, right? Some creators and influencers will do these types of projects because they want to give back in a way, in like an in-kind way, to the organizations that they're partnering with. And then some, like I mentioned, this is their livelihood. This is how they sustain themselves.
Yeah.
So we absolutely compensate influencers and creators for the time that they take to produce this content.
Okay. So I guess it wasn't such a foolish question.
Yeah.
Well, any ethical considerations? Because we are talking about being super authentic and transparent. I think gone are the days where everything is so scripted and polished and, you know, put in a box. So is there any concern about the ethics behind it? And is there any strategies that you recommend for, like, maintaining credibility?
Okay,
Nate. You guys with the hard question. Sorry.
No, you're good. So jumping into the paid side of things, something that's really nice is with paid advertising, because you're spending money behind it, there are a lot more like restrictions and regulations. So if you think about anything that might be like political leaning or like job related, housing, things like that, there are some like protected items where you have to be a verified advertiser and you have to make sure things line up. So it goes through a more strenuous review process. When it comes to kind of like those paid partnerships, for lack of a better word, for example, with the Opportunity at Work campaign I was talking about earlier, it's something where there's that collaboration. So you can see our branded organization, you can see the creator, and it's like both of them kind of posted it together with like a collaborative post. And then it's something where it does have that sponsored. So it does show like, hey, there is something behind this that isn't just kind of like one organic collaboration that way. So from a paid side of things, just with all the different like FTC rules and regulations, you do have folks who you're able to see like that's a sponsored post or that's sponsored content. You might see it with your favorite celebrity, like Paris Hilton talking about something. You're going to see a sponsored, like hashtag sponsored, hashtag ad at the bottom of it. So there are some ways that you can kind of identify like, hey, we're not trying to pull one over you. This is, there is some kind of agreement or some kind of collaboration. From an organic side, I can let Tiffany talk about that, but just kind of thinking like in the weeds, what it's like with the paid side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to add to what Nate said, it's similar, right? Like, even if we aren't putting media spend behind a particular piece of content, there is that disclosure that has to take place between the nonprofit and that creator that they're working with to say, hey, like, this organization invested and paid me to produce this content, and they have to disclose that. It's usually very minimal, and nothing that's like super distracting to the actual objective of the project. But like Nate said, the FTC has made, you know, it very clear that those types of disclosures have to be made. And then I'll also say on the back end, you know, things that you don't see are, you know, conversations between the organization and the influencer about like how long the content can be used, you know, in what spaces the content can be used, all of those different considerations. So definitely, you know, some ethical things taken into account when we do those projects.
Wow, a lot to consider. I'm so glad that we have MediaCause as a resource to nonprofits, because it really is hard to stand out in this digital space and create these relationships and manage the data and people out in the wild. And it's just good to have a friend, right? Be able to phone a friend and call MediaCause. I wish we can talk for like another hour, but we want to get our audience back to their day and their busy lives. But I hope you can stay there for one more question. What do you recommend for maybe the smaller nonprofit or the nonprofit who's been in organic for a while, kind of hasn't branched out to creator influencer marketing and paid strategies, aside from calling MediaCause, which to me, that's what I would do, just call MediaCause. But okay, aside from that, how do you recommend that they get started? Good question, I know, because there's so many ways you can go. But let's give them some advice, because you know we want to help them stand out too, level the playing field. What would you? What are some of your maybe top three things that you would do? If both of you could answer that, I'd love it.
Yeah, I can jump in. I think the first thing I would recommend is just listening, right? Like some people really forget that social media is a dynamic dialogue between several different entities, right? And so it's really important to listen and stay current on the conversation happening. Not only the conversations happening about your organization, but the conversation happening about the broader issues that you're connected to. And I think that that's a really great way to decide if you want to experiment with creator and influencer marketing, because you may see that, wow, this person is talking about this in a really compelling way. And they're someone that we might want to bring into our, you know, our fold. So my first recommendation is to really just start listening, really just start, you know, being a part of the conversation, joining conversation, lurking a little bit, if you will, and making
sure.
Nothing
wrong with lurking.
Yeah, just kind of stay, you know, staying current on what's happening in the larger, you know, social zeitgeist.
Okay, so pro tip one, listen and lurk, right? I think we got that from Tiffany. Okay, so there's lots of people hanging on every word of this podcast. Nate, what are your tips? What are your pro tips here for getting deeper and getting started?
Well, so one thing I would say, because again, I'm so heavily focused in the ecosystem of paid media, is work within platforms. So like Tiffany said, listen. So listen to your audience, listen to what the conversation is, but also listen to what those platforms are doing. So for example, TikTok has like a creator challenge. And what that simply means is if you put paid budget behind, which maybe you already have earmarked for a paid campaign, you can leverage creators that they have and you can fill out a creative brief. You can have folks create different videos to kind of help. So for example, for Parkinson's Foundation, to go a little bit in the lead there, we're working with creators that are on TikTok through this creator challenge. And what you're able to do is get a strong amount of videos, get folks like Tiffany said who have that connection to Parkinson's, and really almost kind of get your feet wet and say, okay, we can see that these videos are performing really well. This maybe is performing better than some other videos that we've run with previous campaigns. This user generated content is fantastic. Like this kind of like authentic creator style content, that's something that we could potentially invest in, whether working with a company like MediaCause or maybe you have a connection with a different influencer or someone in the space and really starting to kind of develop that relationship across organic and social through paid. So just kind of thinking like that, like my big tip is listen to the platforms too, because they do have a lot of really great resources and nonprofits can take advantage of that.
Is it better to do multiple platforms at once and maybe be a little bit more diluted? Or do you think it's better to do one at a time and kind of get them right?
That's a really good question. I think that, you know, the question about where you should be and how much investment you should make, I think, again, it depends on your bandwidth at your organization, but I'm a big advocate for like, going deep on one platform and really like figuring out what works for you. So like Nate mentioned, there's the TikTok creator challenge. With It Gets Better, we had a lot of creators who were really focused on Instagram. So it's a combination of figuring out like where those creators and influencers have cultivated their audiences and leaning in there. You don't want to really go against the grain too much if you figure out like you're not going to get that engagement and traction just because you want to spread yourself, you know, super thin across all platforms. I hope that answers your question.
I think so. Yeah. And that's what I was hoping you're going to say, because I feel like it's consistent with what's out there. It's still a very crowded space and it's still hard to stand out. So it's good to have this knowledge. So thank you both so much, because you really broke it down nicely for me. I'm actually starting to understand a little bit more than I did. But I think it's nice to know that there's experts like all of you to help. So somebody needed to get, you know, we'll drop all of this in the show notes. I think this is going to be show notes a mile long. But if somebody wanted to get started with MediaCause, how do they do that?
Well, reach out to our
website. Okay.
Yeah. Our website is MediaCause.org.
We have a lot of information on the website about the different services we have. And our Tiffany did a great job kind of covering all that at the top of the call.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Well, I'm going to put your LinkedIn. I'm going to put your website. I'm going to put all that good stuff because, it's time to stand up and stand out. And I think sometimes we just don't dive in because, you know, it's the unknown, right? And the fear of the unknown. But you got to start someplace, right? So phone a friend, phone MediaCause, and stand out in your digital space. Thank you so much, guys. You really helped me a lot. I felt like it was just, you know, a little consult call for Dawn. So I really appreciate you taking my questions. I hope they were the questions the audience wanted me to ask, because I thought it was all fascinating. And Fearless Fundraisers, I'm so sorry, but that's about all the time we have for today. I'm sure you're hanging on every word, but not to worry. You can play this episode over and over and over again, and we'll have plenty of detail in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And in the meantime, as I mentioned on the top of the show, we stream on 10 different channels. So I'm sure we are where you are listening to your podcast. So please give Raise Nation Radio a follow. I'd like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab. There is a broad catalog of content. It's all free. And hopefully you'll find that just as helpful as this episode. Huge shout out and thanks to my guest, Nate and Tiffany from MediaCause, for just explaining this whole social, organic, paid influencer, creator to me. It kind of makes sense now. So much more to learn from MediaCause. Guys, thank you so much for being here. But I do have to ask you both, any last words of inspiration? We'll go in reverse order. Nate, how about you first? And then we'll wrap it up with Tiffany.
Yeah, I would say something we talk about in paid media and just in digital media is that it's dynamic and it's ever changing. So really lean into the creativity and the challenges that you can kind of overcome with that dynamicness.
Yeah, great words of advice. Tiffany, last words of inspiration from you to close us out.
Something I used to say previously was it's PR, not the ER. And you really can't break it. Try it. Test it out. Don't be afraid. It won't be the end of the world. You know, everything is about just taking a step forward and experimenting in new ways.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. What a way to close out the show. PR, not ER. That's fantastic. Well, you've both been so kind and generous with your time. And thanks for explaining it for the Raise Nation audience. I bet they're going to have questions. So be kind to them when they call. That is a wrap for today. Thank you again so much. I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.